This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome to Busting Balls. I'm Pat Caputo, along with the webmaster extraordinaire, Evan Jenkins. We're here talking drafts, prospects, and future a couple times a week, every week, here on 97.1 The Ticket. The Red Wings season just ended, and what do we make of that? On one hand, it's absurd to say they didn't make progress. They had 11 more points this year than they had last year. That's five full games. They got to 91 points, which is fairly significant. Yet, on the other hand, they had an eight-point cushion and absolutely disintegrated. So where do you go from here? And how are their younger players going to play part in what they're doing? And when is Steve Eisenman maybe going to hit a little bit more of what they've been developing at Grand Rapids that we've been talking about so much, and in the college ranks and in Europe? Evan, look, man, you are my gauge on hockey, believe it or not, even though it's a sport you probably know the least about.
Yeah.
Because everybody in this town has become completely 100%. Well, not everybody, not the non-hockey geeks, but real good sports fans have become where they just kind of don't understand the dynamics of the league anymore. And it's very different than what it was when the Red Wings were really good and maybe they were really tuned into it. So the narrative about, like, well, it's been 5 years for Eisenman, it's time. I mean, he should be on the hot seat. I find that take to be, and I seldom use the word take, but I find that word take to be somewhat trite, not informed, you know, all those things. I think there's two different issues about the team not making the playoffs this year and what their future is as an entity. Now, when you hear me say that, do I sound like an arrogant hockey elitist, which I'll get called? Or it's like, hey, you know stuff. We hate you that you know stuff. How do you feel about that?
So usually I have like a good hard stance on stuff. And in this one, I can see both sides of the story because I can see, and this takes me back to when Ken Holland was here. Ken Holland came on the airwaves of 97.1 The Ticket and said that a rebuild of a hockey team was going to take 10 years. People scoffed at that. People got pissed off. People did not want to hear it. But I think the Red Wings are a victim of their own success. Meaning they went to the playoffs, what, 25 straight years in a row. So people around Detroit, that was the expectation. That was the bottom of where you could go. And now things have changed to where Red Wing fans, I don't think necessarily know what to do. And I do think a lot of fans parachuted in at the end of the regular season, trying and hoping that the Red Wings would make the playoffs. The one thing I don't agree with are people complaining about how the tiebreakers are done and yada, yada, yada. That's set in stone. It's a point system. It is what it is, right? There's nothing you can say about it because people in Washington right now love the system, right? Yeah. I think at some point, if the Red Wings were to miss the playoffs next year in the same type of fashion where they were in there pretty solid, like you said, an eight-point cushion, and then fizzled down the end, I think – everybody should take a hard look at themselves. And I think Steve Eisenman would say the same thing because I think he does have high expectations. Now, having said that, he was very, very candid by saying, I don't necessarily think we're there, not saying in those words, I'm paraphrasing. And they exceeded expectations through midway of the year. Now, that fizzled at the end of the season when you didn't win games in, like, Arizona when you should have. I just think right now, you're right, you have two sides of the fence where the person that parachuted into the regular season expects what they saw in the late 90s, early 2000s, and the people like you that follow hockey and the prospects and understand that just because you drafted a guy in the first round doesn't mean he's going to be here next year. Not everybody is Sidney Crosby or Connor Bedard or anything like that. And I think you're right that there's two separate fan bases that are cheering on the same team right now.
Yeah, and here's the thing about it. What happened this year was this is where the Red Wings really blew it. Is there was a perfect storm for them to make the playoffs. Because when we talked about the Wings and early on, and you talked about the playoffs, and I said, look, it's not like the Tigers where their division's terrible, or the Lions where there was a down year for the NFC North. That's going to change rapidly, it appears. They're in a conference that's a bear, man. It's, like, really tough. You've got Ottawa and Buffalo, which appeared ahead of them, coming into the year in their rebuild. And then you have teams like Washington and Pittsburgh who still have star caliber players that still anticipate making the playoffs. And the Devils had an outstanding year last year. Well, that all went by the wayside. The Penguins, the Capitals, they were terrible. The Devils, even worse. And you ended up in a situation where Buffalo, typical Buffalo team, they did terrible. And then at the end of the year, they did reasonably well. And people will say they'll be good next year because they got young talent. And Ottawa totally imploded. And what was sitting there for the Red Wings was a spot, a playoff spot. Just sitting there. I mean, it was theirs. And then they had an 8-point cushion. And then they let it get away, and it breathed life into Pittsburgh. It breathed life into Washington, which got in. All of a sudden, Ovi started, you know, scoring goals while skating in quicksand. And it was and they had a 6-game losing streak late in the year. These teams, and Philadelphia rebuilt during the offseason and rebuilt at the trade deadline. And all these teams sold at the trade deadline. Pittsburgh got rid of Gensel. Washington got, I mean, it was just right there for the Red Wings, and they blew it. And I know the last three games were very thrilling, but they blew it. So why? They had better team than the teams that the Washington. Washington's goal differential was like minus 30-something.
37.
Yeah, I mean, it just didn't make any sense. They choked. And it followed a similar pattern as next year. Now, there's no sugarcoating it. The last three games were utterly fabulous. I mean, it was the best hockey we've seen around here in a long time, most exciting. But as far as, like, well, Yzerman, a 5-year plan. First of all, he never said he had a 5-year plan. Second of all, that what Ken Holland said was utterly ridiculous. All right? And Yzerman didn't say that.
Right.
And then the third thing about it is they did make progress toward a bigger picture. And Yzerman is drafted discernibly well. And it's not the NFL, all right? In the NFL, you can have three straight drafts and you go from being a laughingstock to a great team. That's what happened with the Lions. Yep. In the NHL, you draft guys at 18, they don't appear in the league. Actually, Lucas Raymond and Moritz Seider are two of the very best players in the world, 23 or younger. The very best players in the world at that age. So they made great progress, but they didn't make the playoffs. So to sit there and put it in such a simple, you know, little cup, like, yep, that's the way it is, not know anything about their players coming up, and then making like, hey, I don't really care about that, these guys, you know, is ridiculous. It really is. So that's how I feel about it. But the disappointment over this year, you know, I understand that 1,000% because they blew it.
Yeah, it was almost like a heartbreaking loss. I do have a question, though, about Steve Yzerman, because you're right. Everybody gets a fair shot, and he's doing it, and they are improving. And this is a total hypothetical question to you, Pat, so take it as that. Let's say this upcoming year and the next year they don't make the playoffs. Yeah. Would you take a hard look at maybe something's not working the right way? Well, like I said, it's a complete hypothetical. Like, I expect them to really, like, this year contend for the playoffs next year.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things about Holland and that 10-year thing, it was like, you know, to have a good team again, not to win the cup. There's only one team that wins the cup.
Right.
Red Wings are building toward consistency. But, yeah, there's a point where you have to make the playoffs. There's a point where you can't have a step back. So if the Red Wings next year go out there and they're not close to making the playoffs or whatever, you know, that's not good. But on the other hand, if all of a sudden the standard goes from 91 points to 98 to get in, that's a different situation. And if they end up not doing well, you know, after starting out well, that will be something that happened 3 years in a row. Then you got to wonder about the coach, because I think Lalonde, if they didn't have those three games, might have been on the way out.
Yeah, and I was curious about that, because you see it in the NHL quite often that coaches get fired throughout the year or very early on or have a short leash. How much in an NHL game really goes on the coach?
Okay,
for those 60 minutes, a lot goes on the coach.
Yeah, but it's more about like how much they play for him, because that league is a league of frustration and a league of where you just have to keep grinding and grinding and grinding. That little edge goes off. You start to lose those puck battles. You start to play like they did over that extended period where they blew it.
Mm-hmm.
And even though there's effort there, it's not like that maximum effort that every team brings to the table every night, because accountability in that league is at a very high standard. So, and they got problems, man. They got to get grittier. You know, I mean, you can't.
Well, I'm glad you're saying that, Pat. What if you had to name three things the team did this offseason to improve, what would those be?
You're talking about for next year, right?
Correct.
What they need defensemen. And it's a really good unrestricted free agent class for defensemen. They can get a couple guys. They're going to have to overpay for it. You always do an unrestricted free agency, but it's worth it at this point. And they do have some cap space and room for him to maneuver.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Talking about Yzerman. Secondly, they have to get grittier. The sandpaper completely went away from them. I don't know how else to describe it, but if you watch
it. I know what it is. I just love it.
You know, it's just, you know, you got guys giving you face washes. Lucas Raymond getting his knocked down in front of the net all the time. They need some bigger, not fighters, but players that will hit back and create room on the ice. And also, it ends step up for a fight if they need it. That's why I didn't think the Clem Costin trade made sense. You know, I didn't get that, because he definitely would have helped them. I don't know if they would have made the playoffs without him, but they finished 1 point out, basically. The other thing is they need some depth at center ice, because something happens to Larkin, they don't really have number two center. When Larkin went out, they tried Joe Valeno moving up. That didn't work. And Compher, I think, is better actually on the wing. So they don't have depth at center ice. Kopp is a third line center in an ideal world. So I don't know. Those are the three things. And then they got to make a decision on goalie, because Alex Lyon saved their ass this year.
Yeah.
And yet he got overused. They had to overuse that card. And the big question, and this is about draft prospects and future, is will Sebastian Cosa get a shot to be their goalie next year? And that is very key right now, because Cosa's in the playoffs for Grand Rapids.
Playing well.
Well, he had a stretch where he was 16-0-2. His goals against average was .201, and his save percentage was almost 94. That's off the charts good. So when I've watched their games, as you know, and it's not like some phony stats. I mean, there was one game where they had a power play, and the guy for the other team broke in on a breakaway, and he didn't have a chance against this kid. I mean, he's gotten to the point now where he's pretty confident, does certain things, and he's moving a lot better, and he's huge. So will they give him a shot next year? They got a couple goalies under contract. The one that's kind of disturbing is Ville Husso. Yeah. I don't think Ville Husso really has that much of a future in Detroit.
How does that work, Pat, in the NHL? If I know in the NFL you cut them, they don't get their money. But there's a cap hit. But how does that work in the NHL?
It's a hard cap.
Okay.
So if they were to cut him, all right, or buy him out is what they call
whatever that might be.
Right. He would – it would only count two-thirds of his salary on your cap next year, but you have to pay the rest of it down the road incrementally. Like Justin Abdicator was on their salary cap this year. Okay, so
for
years they had, you know, Johan Franzen on it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They don't let you get away with anything. There's no there's no out to it. Hard.
So it's like baseball then. Like you're getting your money no matter what.
Yeah, you get your money. Yeah, the player does. Yeah, basketball too. For the player, it's the goose that laid the golden egg, you know. And that's where Iserman, he inherited like Danny DeKeyser, who got hurt. He was a good player. He inherited Franz Nielsen's contract. He inherited Mike Green. He inherited Trevor Daley's contract. I mean, he inherited the worst contracts in the history of the world. And I heard someone the other day, somebody go, well, they only had 19 wins that one season. They didn't play half the year because the NHL was in the bubble. And the Red Wings weren't one of the teams in the bubble. And, you know, the whole COVID thing – It hurt their development more than most teams because they were trying to get off the ground. So, you know, the whole thing with Iserman is a joke, and especially when you look at what's happening. See, he's building a really good defense. But you're only seeing just bits of it in the NHL. You saw Edvinson, who's very skilled and played a very defensive game, but he's very skilled. You'll see some more from him in terms of flash.
Can I ask a question about him real quick, Pat?
Yeah.
Because a lot of the talk that you hear is they should have called him up earlier. Who is that decision on?
That's on Iserman.
Okay. And do you agree that they should have called him up earlier?
Yeah, I do. What they should have called – well, here's the thing. This is in fairness to those involved. I think they may have called him up when it started to get really bad. And when they called up Berggren, which was, in my opinion, that I couldn't believe it when they did that. I knew that wasn't going to help. I don't know if I used this on our last podcast or whatever, but I say it all the time on the radio, and I can't help it. It's like I could have saved them the bus fare from Grand Rapids or whatever they paid him in mileage for the drive, because I knew that wasn't going to work, okay? He has to play on the top two lines. He's not – there's no sandpaper there. Let's put it that way. And that's what they needed, or a defenseman. But Edmondson was hurt. He was dinged up at that time. So they had to wait for him to get healthy. As soon as he got healthy, they had him play one game, and then they called him up. So – and then they had him in a very defensive mode, which is what they needed him to do. It's like don't get – you could tell by the way he was playing. You know, he wasn't pinching. He wasn't rushing. You know, he was playing back all the time, and he definitely has more skill than what you saw. He's an amazingly skilled player for that height. His skating is unbelievable for somebody that big. It's almost like, hey, you know, it looks like, you know, something that's artistic almost when he starts really doing it. So, you know, but here's the thing. They've got Tomitsu and Johansson, and they should be working those guys in there. That Bulliam kid who played on Denver's championship team and they signed for a tryout contract. They're going to look at him in the playoffs. Those guys are big and they're tough, especially Tomitsu and Bulliam. Those guys are bigger defensemen. and Wallander. So they've got a few defensemen that they need to start working in. The thing is with defensemen, they don't, unless they're like Moritz Seider and exceptional, it takes them, you know, to 23, 24 to really hit any kind of stride. And they usually have to play in the minor leagues for a while. So it's, you know, and it also, you know, when you look at, so here's the thing, I would say Kosa and would be an addition. Simon Edmondson would be an addition. They're not going to have to really look at things, but it's, to me, it's, you know, when do you bring that goalie along? When do you try?
Yeah. And, would you do it at the start of the year?
If you go out and get a goalie this offseason and just have him play in the AHL again, I don't know how much he's going to learn doing that.
Right. I guess my last question about the Red Wings just is, do you think – I'm going to draw a parallel to the Lions, but them missing the playoffs the way they did, is that going to make these guys, especially the young guys and Raymond and Seider and – you know, Edmondson and stuff like that, even more hungry to get a taste of that, the playoffs.
Well, I don't know. I heard Larkin talk yesterday, you know, I listened to all the news conferences.
Yeah.
And, you know, Larkin put it best. It's like, yeah, you know, he's like, I don't really want to go on vacation, you know, right now. I want to start playing hockey. And I think you'll see, you know, DeBrincat too. Alex DeBrincat's a tremendous player. And he went into a funk that I honestly couldn't believe, because you know, I've been watching him for a long time.
Oh yeah,
talking since he was a kid, you know. And I just I've never seen him lose his edge. He's not the type of guy that loses his edge and starts fumbling around with the puck and wide open net and clang. You know, I mean, I had no idea what that was about. But that kid's a really good player. So I can see a lot of improvement from their existing players, especially Raymond. Ritz Seider had an amazing year, and people don't recognize that. But he played 23, 24 minutes. A lot of times he's like the only guy on the defense. He plays in every situation. He had an enormous amount of hits, enormous amount of block shots. I don't know how many times. It seemed like every game. He's limping over to the bench, blocking some shot, especially late in the year. And, you know, he didn't score as much. You know, he didn't have as many goals and points, you know, to put him in like, hey, you know what, this guy's an upcoming defenseman. But I'll tell you what, there isn't a team in the world that doesn't want that kid. I mean, he's going to be a great player. He may win the Norris Trophy someday. It wouldn't surprise me. And Raymond, people talk about they don't have a superstar. He played this year at 21, and he had 30-some goals, and he had 40 assists. So, and he had, and when it really got tough, he was their best player. He and Larkin were their best forwards. Those were the two. And they have a decision to make on Patrick Kane, which is in the column that I wrote here. You know, I'm kind of looking at the Red Wings and how they get better for next year. So check that out. I write columns for Odyssey.com, 97.1 The Ticket. You can get those, Pat Caputo 98 on Twitter. The king of the KFC. He reposts my columns and podcast. And the podcasts are always in, usually on the topic of what the column is at. In the same thing, if it's hockey, it'll be in that column. And don't forget to like us. All right? Don't forget to download us. Odyssey.com, Apple iTunes Store, Google Play Store, wherever you get your podcasts, we're everywhere. And we're about drafts, prospects, in the future. And this is where I have the opportunity to get into more of the details than sometimes I can do on my show, on 97.1 The Ticket. But check it out. Love writing. Love doing the podcast. And Evan, you're the man. And until next time, we'll talk to you.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.